trust you just as the people of old trusted you, just as people around the world trust you today, as we continue to put our faith in you, knowing full well that you are able to do more than we ask or imagine. And so we come before you again to hear your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why are we surprised every time that God's grace shows up? And it always seems to just come out of nowhere, just like bread from the sky. Not only is Scripture brimming with stories of God's grace to a forgetful people, but our own lives are filled at times with God's presence, even care for one another, whether we deserved it or not. This is the mission, the calling, and the story of God's people from beginning until now. Once there was a man named Elijah. He was a Tishbite. And that's about all we know about Elijah personally. But that's really all we need to know. Because as much as we would talk about him for the following thousands of years, to talk about Elijah is simply a way to tell the stories of God. Anytime we talk about Elijah, all we're really doing is talking about God. Anytime we say, "Did you hear this one about Elijah?" we're pointing to God. We're telling the stories of the ways that God works among one person on behalf of the many, and how God can take one person and make a huge impact on the lives of the many. Two stories are going to welcome us this morning: to dream, to believe, to have faith, to trust in God no matter what. They are stories of faith. They are stories of Elijah. They are stories of God. And they are stories that involve bread. As we hear these stories and taste the good gifts of God, I'd like to invite you for the rest of the morning to believe, to give glory to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. First, two stories from 1 Kings 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord of God, the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Shareth, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of God. He went and lived by the Wadi Shareth, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the Wadi. But after a while, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives," which was just an old Hebrew way of saying, "As God is my witness, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son. We'll just eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Do you remember what happens later in the story? I mean, much later in the story. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with next to nothing. Might as well have been a little bit of meal, little bit of oil. And then Jesus, much to the surprise of the people who were there, did it again. This time with 4,000 people. How he gives food when there's not much food. This Elijah story is about faith. It's about our God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Literally, immeasurably more. More than we can ask, more than we can imagine. That's what these stories are about. Elijah, by the hand of God, is basically told, "Go sit by a creek and I'll take care of you. Don't take anything with you." And he does it. I think that's the most surprising part of it. He actually trusts God when God says, "Go sit by this creek and I will take care of you." And sure enough, and again, I guess you just had to be there, every morning these birds show up with sandwiches. You know, it says bread, meat. Okay. And it just keeps happening over and over again. And the creek just keeps providing him water. And so he sits there and he eats his sandwiches and he drinks his water out of the creek. And you know why? Because God told him to. We have opportunities every single day as the people of God. This has been true for the last 2,000 years as people of Jesus. This has been true for however many thousands of years before that, and however many millions of years people have existed at the hand of God, that God says, "I'll give you sandwiches, and I'll give you water, and I'm going to take care of you." But every generation, we have to wake up and tell that to each other. And do you know why? Because every generation wakes up and says, "We don't have enough bread. Where's the bread going to come from?" And so we stand up and we tell each other these stories again. We tell each other stories about Jesus feeding 4,000. We tell each other stories about Jesus feeding 5,000. And we tell each other stories about God feeding one man sitting by a creek with bread and meat delivered by one of the most peculiar delivery services you can imagine. Can you imagine? I mean, y'all've got your phones. Get on your phones, order food, and see if birds deliver it. I wouldn't put it past technology these days, but imagine. Imagine every day this happens. And then you wake up one morning and you go over to the creek and it has done dried up. And you know what probably comes to mind when you look over and see that the creek has done dried up? Depending on your personality, but some of us would look at it and say, "I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. I knew this wouldn't last." Well, for those of you who look down at the creek and say, I knew it. I knew this wouldn't last. Guess what? God shows up again. And God says, head north. When you get to where I'm sending you, there's a woman waiting there for you, and she's going to feed you and take care of you. And Elijah does it. And there's bread, just like God promised. We, as the people of God, must never forget that our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, is the source of life. And God is calling us to risk being the kind of people who go out of our way to be people of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Why do we exist? I mean, why do we exist as a church? Why are we gathered here this morning on Sunday morning? It's because the world needs a group of people who are going to be brave enough to say, we are going to be people of grace in a world that doesn't give grace anymore. We're going to be people of mercy in a world that has forgotten how important mercy is. And we're going to be people of forgiveness. When the rest of the world says, we're not going to forgive you, we will. Because that's who God has made us. And it's who God continues to make us. And then, we could say amen right there, and then we'd all stand up and cheer, because that's the best news. There's more. If you read 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19, the big Elijah section, they form this massive story arc that's just beautiful. And if you've not read it, go home today, find quiet, if you can, and take 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19 and just sit with it for a minute. Because there's another peek into Elijah. But I'll tell you right away, it's really a story about God. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword, not Elijah. The he there gets mixed up. Anyway, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left a servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It's enough now, God. Just end my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Bread from birds, bread from a widow, and now the bread of angels. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? That God provides bread when we think there's no hope of any more bread? That all the bread has dried up? I rolled into the office early Wednesday morning as the road construction crews were out front. They were actually just getting to work. You know, sun was coming up, people were coming in, and you know, the big caterpillar machinery was coming to life. Just all this stuff was happening. But right out in front of our sign, as I rolled up, I pulled into the first driveway, and I noticed that there was a Dodge SUV with the back opened. And every single worker that was showing up was walking to the back of this Dodge SUV where two women stood wearing blue jeans and pink t-shirts. And there in our front yard, out of the back of a Dodge SUV, were people coming to get, stretch with me right, bread. Now, they were breakfast tacos. It was meat wrapped in bread, just like Elijah. Meat and eggs and cheese and potatoes and beans, all wrapped up in bread. These last three Sundays have been so cruel of me, right, talking about this right before lunchtime. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. Sometimes bread just shows up. Bread like it comes out of nowhere, like bread from the sky. My dear people in Christ, please don't forget this. Please don't let the world convince you that the story of God doesn't still have so much. There's still so much of the story of God. And if you're ready, if you're willing, then join with us to give glory to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Amen.